talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media from Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin, well, Wisconsin Rapids, Whiskey Rapids. My friends and relatives up in Wisconsin Rapids can hear it as well. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was a lot of it made over the weekend. First of all, Liz Cheney. You know, Liz Cheney has become a modern Joan of Arc for the Republican Party and also for the United States. She is magnificent. She voted with Trump 93% of the time on substantive issues. I don't see her running as a Democrat anytime soon. But at the same time, she has character, she has spine, and she's one of the few in the Republican Party that does. Here's what happened over the last several days with her. When she lost her primary, remember that last week, Tuesday, because Trump and the rest of the Trump gang ganged up on her, she immediately converted her House Campaign Finance Committee, her account for the campaign, to a leadership PAC. Leadership PACs are what you do when you're considering a presidential race. It has different spending laws, it has different disclosure laws, and different amounts you can raise. She did it hours after losing the primary, And she has already gone on the attack again, standing up for our democracy. She blasted Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley as unfit for future office. She attacked Trump, as she should have, for releasing the names of the Mar-a-Lago FBI agents who executed the search warrant. They didn't draft the search warrant. They didn't approve the search warrant. It wasn't their idea to do a search warrant. They are FBI agents, and they follow orders just like a policeman. They are essentially federal policemen. Yet the Republican Party now, to a man practically in the leadership, calls for defunding the FBI. They're the ones for defunding the police, not Democrats. Not Democrats. Cheney said the Republican Party is very, quote, very sick and under the control of a dangerous former president, end quote. This is magnificent. She has spoken out, frankly, more clearly and courageously than a lot of people in the Democratic Party and certainly every other Republican. And, you know, people will sometimes say, oh, well, yeah, but then they always have Mitt Romney. Well, no, here's what Mitt Romney said. He attacked Liz Cheney over the weekend. And here's what he said. Quote, she can't win and she shouldn't be a spoiler. I wouldn't agree with that. She can't win. She shouldn't be a spoiler. And I wouldn't agree with that. Here's what he's getting at. Liz Cheney has a lot of options. She could run for president as a Republican. She could run for president as a Democrat. She could run for president as an independent. And as an independent, she could actually start a third party. Whatever she does, it's obvious to me that she is going to keep a principled attack on the destroyers of our democracy and the Republican Party. If God forbid the Republicans take over the House by even one vote and they make Kevin McCarthy speaker or somebody of that ilk. By the way, Jim Jordan in that case would be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. How do you like that? Gymnasium Jim J.M. Jordan. But if that happened, Kevin McCarthy has already promised to immediately disband the January 6th Commission and investigate Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. I mean, that's something you would see in the Russian Duma with Putin. Somebody turned against the party, and then they're the subject of investigation, a show trial. He also said he would start impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden. No specific reason. just to do it, just to tie things up. This is a vandal party. It's a party of nihilism. But to get back to Liz Cheney, what are her options? Let's think about it. If she ran in the Democratic Party, as courageous as she is, as strong as she is, as Joan of Arcish as she is, she's cast too many votes that are on the deep conservative side of the Republican Party to have a chance in a Democratic primary. And I don't think she wants to run as a Democrat, and I don't think she will. I also can tell you that I think and expect that Joe Biden will run for re-election and he will win. Folks go, Matt, come on, he's old. Yeah, Konrad Adenauer and Charles de Gaulle were very old after the Second World War, and Germany and France were very lucky to keep them as leaders. Joe Biden's performed magnificently, and he, in my opinion, and this is my opinion in 2020, it's my opinion in 2024, is the only Democrat who could beat Donald Trump if Trump gets the nomination, and I think he could beat him pretty handily. You might say, well, why would Trump get the nomination? What if Liz Cheney runs against Trump? Well, the problem is Trump threatens opponents with violence. Liz Cheney, when she campaigned around Wyoming, had to have security. Her opponent didn't have to have security. Trump released the names of the agents, the rank and file agents who were executing the search warrant. It was not a raid. It was the execution of a search warrant. That's what you do. It was a warrant, and it was a motion and an affidavit drafted by the Department of Justice, experienced lawyers, and presented to a federal magistrate judge. Federal magistrate judges don't just sign those things. They read them. They quiz the Department of Justice as to some of the facts, and they weigh the right to privacy of the individuals involved. And in this case, the judge signed it for a very good reason, because the affidavit said there were documents that were taken from the White House in violation of federal felony criminal laws, including nuclear secrets. And some of this was top secret, and some of it was top secret compartmented, which means that it could only be reviewed by a handful of people, maybe seven or eight people. And by the way, even the head of the CIA is not one of them. Seven or eight people in a specific room. What Trump would do is order these documents to the White House. People are afraid to say no. A senior aide to Mike Pence, a woman, went into the ladies' room. There were classified documents on a shelf. Somebody left them. People just walked around with them. Nobody checked their briefcases on the way out. And when Trump left, he ordered them pile a bunch of stuff in boxes and took it to Mar-a-Lago. By the way, the Department of Justice, this was revealed by the Washington Post, and Liz Cheney knows all of this, said that sources in the Department of Justice say that they are very concerned that Trump used these documents and will use them for nefarious purposes. It's the word they used. In other words, not just as blackmail, not just as an insurance card bargaining to get himself out of jail time, but he has relationships with Russia that are off the book, offline. He had Ruskies. He had Sergey Lavrov, the number two over there, the foreign minister, the genocidal sadist and thief, billionaire who's stolen a lot of money and killed a lot of people, into the White House with Ruskies and no one else. No Americans, none. Nobody from the Senate or the House or the Defense Department or the CIA, nobody. He's the one who met with Putin in Helsinki and was asked, well, it turns out that the Ruskies hacked into and interfered with the 2016 election. The FBI and the CIA said that. What do you say? And he said with Putin right there, well, I don't trust them. He's our own president. The Department of Justice suspects him for using them to either already have given or giving to the Ruskies. They were stored in a warehouse near a pool area. In a storeroom, I should say, with no padlock. People come and go. People who pick up towels, deliver towels. Anybody could put on a a jacket that says staff and walk in there with a phone and photograph things and take things. And this went on for over a year. The Republicans were defending it, and Liz Cheney stood up. And she said, Trump, by releasing the names of the FBI agents that executed the search warrant, that it was contemptible and dangerous, and those people are going to get death threats, and their families will get death threats from Trump's death squads. Merrick Garland's gotten them. The judge that signed the warrant has gotten them. He's gotten anti-Semitic abuse. Synagogue he attends had to cancel services a week ago, because of threats. There is an active death threat squad out there, and Trump gins it up. What is the purpose of releasing the FBI agents' names? Other than to get them death threats. What is the purpose? Liz Cheney stands alone in this, and it's very similar to Joan of Arc. You can look back at Joan of Arc. She was a peasant girl. In those days, they used that term. She was illiterate. She didn't have an education. You know, women back in the Middle Ages had a tough time. And if you were in the peasant class, you had a super rough time. But she was so strong and brave. Somehow she got in to talk to the king, and he said, how can you help us fight the English? The English occupied France, you know, for a while. Back in the 14th century. He said, you can't read or write. You have no education. What can you do? She looked at him. She said, Your Majesty, I can fight. That was Joan of Arc. The English captured her and burned her at the stake. That's what they did. But here's the deal with Joan of Arc. And here's the deal with Liz Cheney. She is magnificent. But what can she do? She runs as a Republican. She's going to need security. And the death squad will be after her. The best thing to do is start a new party. The United Americans Party. The Americans Party, the United Party, and stand tall for our democracy. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Major development in Russia. It's now in Russia. There's a car bomb. Blew up a car with the daughter of one of Putin's most right-wing genocidal defenders. That individual's name is Alexander Dugin, D-U-G-I-N, Alexander Dugin. Is referred to as Putin's brain, an absolute genocidal sadist who thinks that there should be an Anschluss of Ukraine from Russia. That's a term I'm using, refers to the Anschluss of the Nazis against Austria. They went and just took over the country, just an exit to Germany. I've been to Germany and I've been to Austria, and wonderful visits to both of them. But Austria, even though they're German, you know, they speak German. When I say German of German descent, they have Austrian nationalities. And one time the Austro-Hungarian Empire for about 700 years, the Habsburgs ruled Europe. They even ruled Spain for a while. They ruled much of Europe. Some were afraid of the Nazis. In any words, the Anschluss occurred. This is an Anschluss by the Nazi Ruskies of Ukraine. It's pure and simple. And Alexander Dugin is one of the architects. He has a daughter, Daria Dugina, D-A-R-Y-A. In Russia, what they do is they'll put an A or an O-V-A or just an A for the female member of the family. So my name is Flynn. My wife's name, Mary Flynn. She would be Flynnova, O-V-A. So Zelensky's wife is Zelenskaya, you know, that's the way they, so she's Daria Dugina and he's Alexander Dugin. In any event, blew up and killed her in Alexander Dugin's car. What's going on? The New York Times came out with a terrific article just now that raised the possibility of a false flag operation to inflame the Russian people, make them more conservative, so Putin could bomb Kyiv. He's been afraid to bomb Kyiv directly up till now. Here are the facts. Alexander Dugin and Daria Dugina were supposed to be in that car. Somehow, Putin's people convinced Alexander Dugin to take another car, do something else. They were not willing to sacrifice Alexander Dugin, but and Alexander Dugin could not have been in on this because this is his daughter, and he genuinely looked distraught. But in any event, what happened is, I have some questions. How did anybody have access to that car to plant a bomb on it? And why was the father switched out at the last minute? Ukraine has denied responsibility. And I think that's genuine. Everybody who's been assassinated in Russia in the last 5 or 10 years has been assassinated by Putin. Opponents, Navalny, of course, was poisoned. They sent assassins to London, to Berlin. Four or five oligarchs have been murdered along with their wives and daughters. Some stabbed. Putin announced that these were murder suicides. Who kills himself with a knife and kills his wife and daughter with a knife? This is a false flag operation because now Putin says, well, Ukraine is really going to pay for this. And the rabble in Russia, the Rusky rabble, all go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And all they did was knock off an expendable woman. Go to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, eh, Jean?
Good morning, Matt. I hate to interrupt this new article that you're on. And I just wanted to bring up something about Cheney. I think she's an outstanding person who really cares about our country. And, you know, this fascist movement was not orchestrated by Trump alone. There has to be a lot of money and power behind this. There's no way in God's green earth that one man could have corrupted that large number of Republicans, not only in our federal government, but in many of our states. And the coordination between the restrictions in the laws and the impositions that they're putting on the people in our country is alarming. So I just think that she's an amazing woman, and I'm very thankful for her. I hope she gets medals. I hope she's acknowledged by a lot of people, and I hope people get out to vote because this is not the Republican Party of old. A lot of the older Republicans quit, and they left. And now we're left with these, I don't know what you want to call them, but they definitely don't care about legislating. All they care about is being on TV, running down people that are trying to do something for the people in our country. So these are our employees. And if that's the kind of workers that Republicans want, boy, I don't want that kind of workers in my country. So I just want to give my 2 cents worth this morning. And thanks a lot, Matt, and keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot, Jean. You hit the nail on the head. And you're right. You know, it reminds me of the old, it's not a joke, really, where a guy goes, show me the direction my people are going so I can get out in front of them and lead them there. Trump is simply, you know, it's his personality and he has his Svengali-like hold on some people. But you're absolutely right. Nobody creates a movement like that. It's been festering for a long time. You know, you had the Tea Party long before Trump, more than 10 years ago. And there is that movement out there and he captured it. He captured the essence of it, the zeitgeist, the time ghost. That's what he captured. And so if he died tomorrow of a heart attack, that movement will still go on. They'll find somebody. He may not be as charismatic or she may not be as charismatic as Trump, but they will find somebody. They are knifing to death the traditional Republican Party. This is a rattlesnake shedding its skin. And I'll tell you what, it will reemerge as a rattlesnake. It's a fascist cult right now of Trump. But you're right. The core beliefs are there and they are going to persist. The Democratic Party has got to be the antidote to that. And frankly, there are people on the far left of our party who, in my view, should not be permitted to take over our party. We're going to talk about this a lot more. It's a fascinating time in history. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. She goes away. Back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. Well, let me ask you this. How much did you pay in state income tax last year? Some folks pay $600 or $800. Some might pay $1,200 or $2,000. If you're doing well, you might pay $5,000 or $10,000. Then suppose that you had a politician who said to you, I'm going to take $1,250,000 out of tax dollars that you've paid in, and I'm going to go over here and pour it down the sewer. And then every once in a while, once a month, I'm going to go back and grab another 10, 20, 50, 100 grand, put it in the wheelbarrow, and throw it down the sewer again. That is quite literally what Voss and the Republican Party and Gableman have done with tax dollars. And here's a development. The other day, Judge Frank Remington in Madison, Frank Remington presided over one of the open records cases where Gableman was a defendant and Voss was a defendant. His father, Frank Remington Sr., was a criminal law professor of mine at UW-Madison. He was a terrific guy, national reputation in criminal law, published widely. He was also the Big Ten representative for Madison to the Big Ten. In other words, each of the Big Ten, which is now the Big 18 or will be or whatever, gets a representative and they vote on policy. And Frank Remington was the representative for UW-Madison. In any event, his son, Frank Remington Jr., is a good judge. Frank Remington Jr. issued an order at the end of last week. And here's what he found. This is a judge finding. This is part of a judicial order. First, Gableman did not keep weekly progress reports, which had been required by the assembly. Remember, Gableman was paid 11 grand a month. Then they hurt him by cutting it to 5,500 a month. They paid over $1 million. 250 grand on top of that for fines that Gableman incurred for misconduct in the court that the judges imposed. Why should we pay for that? $1,250,000 down the drain, and it's still going on with no sunset to it. He found Frank Remington, the judge found that Gableman conducted no witness interviews. He found that he gave his employees code names, like COMS, C-O-M-S, or 3, the number 3, or T-H-R-E-E, just to send news articles and drafts of speeches for other people. His staff got 20 grand a month. He didn't even reveal their names until there was a lawsuit. He printed reports in his files. These are what the documents he did have that other investigators elsewhere had already written. And there's no evidence that he or anybody else on his staff read these reports or did anything about them. He just salted the file. Judge Frank Remington found that Gableman had started lawsuits against other parts of Wisconsin and local governments, didn't win any of them, didn't get any relief. Two of them, one of them, he wanted to put the mayor of Madison in jail, and the other one, the mayor of Green Bay in jail, because they're Democrats, basically. He said, well, they're Democrats, so they must have been up to something. I want to talk to them in secret. This is what the clown did with our tax money. The judge admonished. That is a word judges use, short of disciplining himself, he admonished, he warned strongly, five out-of-state lawyers, gave him and hired lawyers from out-of-state, one from Louisiana, elsewhere. They were all conspiracy theorists. And he said, you may not practice in my court anymore. You may not represent your client in this case anymore. Judges can do that. If you have an out-of-state lawyer who's admitted to practice in Louisiana, if he or she wants to practice for one case in Wisconsin, they have to bring what's called a motion pro hac vicee, P-R-O-H-A-C-V-I-C-E. Latin means for this matter. And the judges routinely say, okay, you can come in here and practice law in this case for this one case. Very rare for a judge to say you can't get out of Wisconsin. That's what Frank Remington did to Gableman's guys. Gableman produced 761 pages of records. And here's what they were. Some of them were blank pieces of paper. One was a 59-page complaint that somebody brought against numerous film and TV stars for criticizing the government. We're talking $1,250,000 here, guys. $1,250,000. You didn't pay that in taxes last year. You didn't pay that in your entire life, and you won't. He said, okay, Gableman has been in contempt for 12 days. I've imposed a $2,000 a day fine. Gableman has to come up with an additional $24,000 in fines right now. And Voss has said, you're going to pay for it, the taxpayers. That's not right. That's not right. I mean, a guy, you know, gets a parking ticket, traffic ticket, or, you know, a municipal ordinance violation for punching somebody in a bar, and I'm supposed to pay his fine. Why should I do that? He wasn't supposed to do that. Wasn't supposed to do that. But then Voss said, but okay. You know, he fired Gableman. He didn't fire Gableman for any of this because Gableman was incompetent or there's a corrupt deal. No, he fired him because Gableman had endorsed Adam Steen, Voss's opponent, in the assembly primary last week, or I should say August 9. And Steen almost won. Steen is a no-nothing, a no-name. Guy out of the phone book. You could walk into the Greyhound bus station, go up to the guy and say, hey, do you want to be in the legislature and make 55 grand a year and 20 grand for per diem? Well, yeah. Okay, Trump will endorse you. And he almost did it. He almost did it. Steen came very close, but he didn't win. Gableman endorsed him. And Voss said, he endorsed my opponent. He said, that's a conflict of interest. Wait a minute. That has nothing to do with what he told Gableman to do. Voss isn't the client. You know, Voss isn't the client that Gableman is supposedly representing. It's you and me. Here's the deal. Follow the money. The guy that pays the money is the client. Always. Always. And in this case, the money was paid by you and me. So he canned him. He said he endorsed my opponent. That's a conflict. No, it's not a conflict of interest. What it was is you knifed him, but he's knifed us. So what the heck? It's honor among thieves. But then Voss goes, but the quote, the Office of Special Counsel still exists. And it has no employees. Gableman's gone. It has no budget. And, but we still have all the, quote, all these substantial lawsuits. They're still outstanding. They have to be defended. These are lawsuits where Gableman brought to put the mayor of Madison and Green Bay in jail. These are lawsuits against Gableman for all kinds of open records and other issues. Some of them are on appeal. They have to be defended or dismissed, and Voss won't dismiss them. So Republican lawyers, and you know they're going to be Republican lawyers because everyone that's been hired is a Republican lawyer. What do I mean by a Republican lawyer? One that gives all or most of his contributions to the Republican Party, is a member of the Republican Party and goes to Republican Party meetings. They're going to have a field day. Gableman is gone. The piranha are going to come out and feed on his carcass. And the mess that he left has to be cleaned up by lawyers. One of Gableman's lawyers charges $400 an hour They all charge some hundreds of dollars an hour. You're paying for that. You're paying for that. There's a great letter to the editor in the Milwaukee Journal on Sunday, yesterday. Get the name of the woman. It was a very short letter. She just said, I want Robin Voss to repay the $1 million that he took from us for the Gableman investigation. I can't say it better myself. A million bones, a million smackaroos, and 250 grand in fines. So it's really 1,250. Now it's another 24 grand as of Remington's order now. And they go, oh, well, that can come out of the taxpayer, no problem. You know, our budget is $70-80 billion biennial, keeps going up. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's 24 grand? It's a rounding error. Well, no, it's not a rounding error. I don't pay 24 grand a year in state taxes. No, it's not a rounding error at all. It's my taxes. It's your taxes. The real parties in interest in this were not the taxpayers. We're not Wisconsin. The real parties in interest in this were the Republican Party and Voss. The real parties in interest in this were the Republican Party leadership who wanted to appease Donald Trump, because Donald Trump in 2021, right after the Republican primary, I should say Republican convention before the primary, attacked Voss and attacked one of the Engas. It was either Kunyenga or Kapenga, I can never keep them straight, who groveled. The Enga said, sent a message to Trump. He said, I am but a bobby pin to yours. You are Thor's hammer. And I wear socks with your picture on. What man says that to another man? Come on, come on, come on, guys. And Voss goes, I am going to hire Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Gableman. I'm going to send him around the state, pay him a lot of money. Trump, this shows we're serious. Trump saw through it and endorsed Gableman or Voss's opponent anyway. So that went down the drain. That was extortion by Trump. That was bribery paid. That was a bribe paid by the Republican Party, by Voss. The Republican Party and Voss should repay that. Voss may say, I don't have the money to repay it. Gableman, there should be restitution for money taken when he didn't do anything. But he may not have the money. He said he couldn't afford a computer initially. I don't know how that is. Well, you hire a guy, can't afford a any computer. You can go to Best Buy and get a computer for well under a grand, well under a grand. He goes to a public computer in the New Berlin Library and just scrolls through it for a couple of hours, having coffee, find out elections. What is this thing they call elections? So folks can line up, can they? And they can vote. They can vote. Oh, that, okay, that's good. What are we paying $1 million for this for? This clown. What are we paying $1 million for this clown? Time to give it back. Who has the pockets? Who has the deep pockets? The Republican Party of Wisconsin has the pockets. They get as much money as they need from their big donors. They get as much money as they need in dark money. And the dark money, black ops, androids, and Stepford wives that run them, cough it up. $1 million to them is a rounding error. $1 million to you and me is not a rounding error. The Office of the Special Counsel still has to defend, and in some case prosecute, cases. Unless somebody gets up on his hind legs and goes into court and says, we move to dismiss it, then the other side says, we're going to want to pay costs, which aren't attorney's fees, but it's depositions, a lot of other things, document copying. And then what happens? That's going to come out of the taxpayers, but at least it would shut it off. The Republican Party immediately should dismiss all pending litigation involving this fraudulent investigation. And then the Republican Party should repay the million or more, $1,250,000 and more that they just took from us on a scam. Now we're going to a break. The lines are alive. I see you. We're going to a break. It's a short break. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
I just want to make a statement and then a question, Matt. The previous segment that you had spoke to the fact, and I think if you reiterated it, it would be absolutely fine because it's a fascinating bit, that we aren't done with Gableman because it's not stopped at 1.2 million. This was really a fascinating point that you brought up, that we still have these outstanding lawsuits that he started that have to be dealt with. So the lawsuits that he had against the mayor of Madison, I believe the mayor of Racine, these are still, they still have to be worked through. So, and that's going to cost us. And you have these out-of-state lawyers that are bopping in, and or in-state lawyers that are going to be charging it. And who gets to pay? Who gets to continue to pay? It's the U.S. It's the Wisconsin taxpayers. So my question for you is, you said at the very end, you said you called upon the Republicans to dismiss these lawsuits, to conclude this. My question is, if they were to dismiss these lawsuits, there's still charges that the legal departments within these government entities of Madison and Racine have spent on defending their mayors, for example, and then other lawsuits that he has around the state. So we aren't done. Who's going to pick up those charges that have already accrued from those entities that were defending against Gableman? So thanks again for all this insight. I really, really appreciate it. It's just, I mean, Gableman is it's the nightmare that doesn't end, it seems. Anyway, so I'd love to hear your responses as to who picks up the charges for what's already been spent by these government agencies who have to deal with Gableman and these crazy lawsuits. Thanks a lot. I'll listen off air.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Excellent question. And yeah, I'll just put it to you this way. And it's actually slightly more expanded than you described. Lawsuits are pending. I think there are several of them. I forget exactly how many, quite a few of them. First of all, they don't just go away by themselves. The judge schedules things. Some lawyer has to write a very brief motion. It won't be very, very long, saying that we move to dismiss this with prejudice. That means that it can't be refiled. And without costs, that means that each party bears its own costs. Costs in the law does not refer to attorney's fees on its own. It refers to things like telephone charges, copying documents, deposition fees, and that kind of thing. But, you know, it can be a couple of grand. The other side would likely respond, and this is, you know, the other side of these private entities that one of these documents would say, we agree to the dismissal with prejudice, but we want costs. They might even ask for attorney's fees, but definitely we want costs. And each one will be anywhere from a grand to $2,000 or $3,000. The attorney who moved to dismiss it is going to spend at least an hour or two drafting that motion to dismiss. Then he or she is going to go to Racine and Madison or, you know, Green Bay or wherever, and will bill travel time, and will also bill for the appearance, sitting in court, and then getting up and arguing. So to dismiss a case is going to cost a couple of grand. At least a couple of grand. Some of them, the other side won't agree to dismiss because they still haven't gotten documents. That is then going to have to be responded to in a reply brief. So each of these cases, let's just say there's five of them. I don't know that it's five. It could be a couple more. It could be a couple less. But five of them, each will cost a couple of grand to dismiss. And if the other side won't dismiss them, it's going to be a lot more than that. And then each of them has involved legal fees already, as you point out. Those legal fees, I'm assuming, have been partially paid out of the $1 million remember, there's over a million. They don't say the exact amount in costs and attorney's fees, and $250 in fines and sanctions. And now there's another $24,000 on top of that. But not all of those fees have probably been paid, because lawyers bill at the end of the month, and, you know, the other side has 30 days to pay. So there are very likely going to be tens of thousands of dollars in fees, either unpaid, number one, number two, incurred because somebody has to go in there, move to dismiss, and go and argue it in court, and number three, paying costs, and number four, if some of these plaintiffs don't want to dismiss them, there's going to be more. I'll tell you who's paying for it. Taxpayers, Joe. Taxpayers. Voss has said that. How come Evers did not veto it? He didn't get a chance to veto it, because Voss had his legislative council. You know, they're all his captives. They just agreed, and he just took it. Now, what happens if somebody, like, say I were the attorney general, and I think that Call, actually, to his credit, did go in and try to stop this, but you bring a lawsuit against the Republican Party and against Voss and Gableman and say, this is a fraud, pay back the $1 million and stop immediately any dipping into tax money for partisan political purposes like that without passing it as a spending legislation that Evers could veto. Republican Party, the Republican judges in the state have already said no, permit this to go forward. Let me tell you something else. Possibly the most important election, other than, I suppose, governor and senator, but the most important election that's coming up anytime soon is for the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the spring. In February, there's going to be a primary. There are three candidates already. In April is a general election, the two that clear the February primary will face off in April. I'm supporting, and a lot of people are supporting in the Democratic Party around the state, and a lot of independents and a lot of honest Republicans, is Judge Janet from Milwaukee. Her name is a long name, Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz. I've known her for 40 years. She started out as a young Dem working with Jerry Klitschko. She was a prosecutor in Milwaukee for over 20 years and had a superb reputation. Became a judge, and she's one of the best judges in Milwaukee and statewide. She's tough and fair. And she has made it very clear that she'll stand up for our democracy when the Republican Party, when the Republican majority in the Supreme Court ruled that you can't have drop boxes. She put out a statement blasting that, which is very rare. She is far and away the most qualified individual for the Supreme Court. And keep that in mind, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. And if she's elected and we have a 4-3 majority, Voss will never be able to do this again. But without that, with Republicans having a 4-3 majority, they look on our tax money as a piggy bank, and Evers never gets a chance to veto it. The Wisconsin Supreme Court race in the spring is the most important race after governor and senator that we have. Pay a lot of attention to it and give a lot of consideration to my friend, Judge Janet. Going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.